kingdom of the Planet of the Apes has arrived in IMAX.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, now playing only in theaters. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on. I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? You take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. To find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit JiffyLube.com.
Network powered by Spotify. Cousin Sal coming to you live. Yeah, I'm gonna say live. What do you know? Mikey Meatballs producing this disaster for show, and joining me as always, my wizards of wagering, my gurus of gambling, my barons of betting, my overlords of the odds, the D3, Harry, Brother Bride, Darren, the Parlay Kid. What is happening, fellas?
What's going on, Sal?
Hey, Sal.
What's going on, buddy?
Wow. Wow. What a day. We are recording this late Wednesday night. And just when you think, you know, Black Monday, all right, maybe some trickles into Tuesday with the coaching changes. Not so fast. Now we got the retirees, Brother Bri. Pete Carroll. Well, I don't know. He says he's retired. He's going to stay on in Seattle as an advisory role. Maybe he was fired. They said it was mutual, right? 72 years old. Pete Carroll got the Seahawks, their only Super Bowl win. Great career, 170, 120 losses, one tie, 746,000 pieces of Bubblicious chewed on the sidelines. Harry, even you liked Pete Carroll, right?
I did. I mean, boy, I mean, the energy, that guy's got so much. That guy's got, at 72, more energy than the four of us combined.
Do our cleanse, though. I mean, yeah, sure, for now. But yeah, we're going to do our cleanse.
But I mean, it is a little weird, though. I mean, Monday he said he was already set to play, coach another season in Seattle, his 15th. And all of a sudden, today, not happening.
Yeah. I honestly, at 72 years old, and you're right about the energy, I am not going to want to coach a football team. I am barely going to want to go see my kids play and my grandkids play any sports. Right? You guys, we'll talk on the phone every now and then. Maybe we'll still do this. I'll visit Harry's grave every now. You know, I'm not going to do a lot. Right. I'm telling you now. Right? I'm saying I'll visit. Sure. I'm being a nice guy. Yeah.
Thank you.
I mean, I will say Pete Carroll looks phenomenal, right? For 72. Yeah. And good for him. I mean, I will say he probably has more energy than any coach out there, right? Still to this day, right?
Yeah.
There's no coach with more energy, more swagger than he has. So good for him. You know, maybe he can enjoy something else in life. You know, he seems like he's a young 72, so he should be able to enjoy it. And look, Carroll's, we always had a special thing for Carroll because his son had played baseball for our dad. So,
right.
For a year or two. So, yeah.
That's right. Yeah. Your dad was Billy Martin. Right? No. And yes, it was at Harborfields High School, right? Right there. And Parlay Kid. Yeah, he was was he good, that kid? Did he play baseball?
Yeah, is he good? I mean, Harris should know this because his son Brendan is the offensive coordinator at the University of Arizona.
Look at
who
that.
Had an awesome year this year offensively. Brendan Carroll should be on the rise. I wouldn't be surprised if he's leading a college team very soon as a head coach. Dad, the ultimate players coach, it seemed like, right? Mm-hmm. Pete Carroll, the ultimate players coach, kind of was, even though he's been in the game for as long as all these other guys, definitely an older coach with a more of a modern approach, you could say.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. He was a good guy from what I remember. I met him. We did a bit with him on Jimmy Kimmel Live. Jimmy went bowling
with the USC,
with the USC team, and then they promptly lost to Texas. Actually, to me, that's still the greatest college game.
Wasn't that? Yes, it was, Sal.
Love that.
And so kudos to these guys. Like you said, I don't know. You know, I was just talking to my wife about my lack of energy right now in terms of, I was just talking to you about it too before we came on, and just these months, like these January dog day months in the East Coast, it's just, I don't know how these guys do it. I guess maybe living out in the West, they get the fountain of youth out there.
Well, he's the Pacific Northwest. It's probably raining up there. In fact, I think it is. My son reported it. So maybe he did the same thing as you, Pauly Kid. He woke up, he saw the rain. He's like, to hell with this.
I'm done.
I just want to be able to sleep till 10:30 every 6 months or something.
It was time. Yeah. It was time. He couldn't come back to Seattle again.
Well, and
as the head coach,
and they should love him though. They should love him. Like I said, he brought them their only title and everything. Another 72-year-old called it quits. Nick Saban, done at Alabama. 297 career wins, titles in 09, 11, 2012, 2015, 2017, 2020. Let's mix college and pro here, Harry. And I know you hate coaches in general. You'd say they have no, you want like driverless cars. You want teams without coaches. I know you're a very progressive guy, but mixing the two, college and pro football, is he the greatest we've seen?
Boy, mixing the both of them. Maybe.
So you have to pick him ahead of Belichick is basically what you're doing. You have to, right? Oh, go ahead. I don't want to cut you off.
No, I just think that, you know, at Alabama, tremendous job. Also at LSU, won a championship there as well. I don't know. I just think that college overall, though, it's more recruiting. And now it's even more crazy with the transfer portal. Maybe that's why he's ending things. Maybe transfer portal is screwing up everything for a lot of these schools across the country. But I just think overall, a tremendous recruiter, probably the greatest ever. Coach, pretty good, too. But I just, you know, when you get every great player, you're going to have the best teams in college, especially when you play in the South and the SEC.
Well, I think Harry should answer this question. And Harry, be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Because what's happening here is leveled the playing field. Would you say Saban had a huge advantage before all this stuff?
Darren, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and this transfer, look at all these kids who had great seasons at the school they're at, and they're still entering the transfer portal and going elsewhere for whatever reason, because they can.
But that's the last couple of years. He came up in 2007, and Alabama wasn't the powerhouse that they were, right? Like, you still had Bowden was big, and, you know, Paterno was, those were the head recruiters.
Those are
the guys in our lifetime. Those are the guys, Pauly Kid, you may have to put ahead of him, right? Paterno and Bowden. I feel like, though, he's more, I know he has fewer wins, 292 total. I still feel he's more accomplished, right?
That's a good point.
Darren, when he did go to the pros, not so good.
No, it's true. It's a totally different game. Mm-hmm. You know, again, how much, here's the question you have to ask yourself when it comes to a Saban or Pete Carroll. How much coaching are they actually doing right now? At this point of the career, probably almost none, right? They had their coordinators probably doing 95, 98, 99%.
How much did Bobby Bowden do, really? You know, like there's an example.
That's the thing. And Joe Paterno, they were figureheads for the program. But yeah, Sal, it's a good question. Like, to compare those guys, are we missing anybody? I mean, obviously,
I'm looking at wins here, and I'm looking at guys that we saw. So this John Gagliardi was in the 50s. We never saw, you know, St. John's, Minnesota, whatever. He had a ton of wins.
He might still be coaching at D3 in St. John's in Minnesota.
Yeah,
as
right.
Far as we
He's
know.
Almost done. So I think Paterno, Eddie Robinson was before our time. He's after him. Bowden. Bear Bryant, who, you know, I wouldn't even say he took it over. I mean, it was another 25 years before Saban took over
Woody
for
Hayes
Bear Bryant after
was
that.
Was a big name, right? Woody Hayes was a
I'm
big
looking,
name.
But, you know, anyone else is below him. It's Brian Kelly. It's Mack Brown. It's, you know, Lavelle Edwards. It's Tom Osborne, Lou Holtz, all these guys are way below him, you know, at this point. Yeah, Woody Hayes, you mentioned, Shem Beckler.
Probably really play more games these days.
Right.
Probably less non-conference games years ago.
I know this isn't, you know, there's other factors too, but someone, Joe Pompliano on Twitter brought this up in terms of his accomplishments and how much exposure it led towards Alabama and how Saban, no one even has come close. So whatever, take this for what it's worth. When Saban arrived in 2007, Alabama had went from 25,000 students to 40,000, 60% jump. And out-of-state students.
That's true.
Mostly out-of-state students, and that's triple the annual 100%. Tuition. 32,000 to 11,000.
That's great.
They paid him $130 million. If you credit him with all this, it's a $1 billion industry he created. So it's the best investment they ever made. The Bama chancellor actually
one guy said that. One guy I think we could say, Sal, he had a much shorter career, but might be the single greatest coach of all time. Mm. Jimmy Johnson.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. 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 Well, if you go by Harry's, Harry doesn't put anyone at the top of his list.
Think about
if you're going to say
Jimmy Johnson was one hell of a college coach.
He took a program that was dormant.
Right.
In Miami for the most part. Mm-hmm. I mean, Schnellenberger, I think, had gotten it to a certain point, I think, right? Was it Howard Schnellenberger? Yep. So, but Johnson, I think, can rival any of these guys we're talking about. And he might be the single greatest coach of all time.
So funny. How long has he been out of the game, Jimmy Johnson? I mean, I know he's 80 now, but he didn't go as late as these guys, you know?
Oh, no. He's been out since what?
He was...
I mean, when did he?
He could have kept it going if he wanted to.
Early 50s, right? So
he was in his early 50s, you say? Yeah.
Probably, right? 90.
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because 96. When was he done with the Cowboys?
Switzer came in.
Darren, 99. Both, Darren.
Yeah. 99. So mid, late 50s, right? Until 99, he went with the Dolphins.
Oh, that's right. He's back with the Dolphins.
Dolphins, yep.
All right. Yeah, but still, yeah. All right. I agree. I'll say Jimmy Johnson. All right. Sorry, Pete and Nick. Sorry to rain on your parade today, but we're going with Jimmy Johnson. That's how it is. All right. Listen, we are, by the way, 44 first-round draft picks and 29 losses for Nick Saban. That's the only thing I was going to read from his tenure at Bama. But let's take a quick break. We have Shark Tank. We have emails. We have so much to go. We're going to start with the playoff games when we return.
This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on. I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? You take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. To find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit JiffyLube.com.
All right, so we're going to go over the six games here for the weekend, kind of. I mean, we're going to hit them pretty hard. Harry and I are going to give our picks on Cousin Sal's winning weekend. That's 10 a.m. Eastern Time, Friday, FanDuel TV. Or you could hear right here on this Against All Odds feed, that same show. But we go out of our way to wear button-down shirts, so we prefer that you watch Friday, 10 a.m. on FanDuel TV. But we're going to give props, right, Harry? We got props and we got other stuff, maybe totals if we're going to give sides on the TV show. And the Parlay Kid and Brother Bri will have picks as well. So let's start with Cleveland, 2.5-point favorite. This went to 3 for a minute. Now they're back down to 2.5 as far as I could see. 44.5 is the over-under. At Houston, these two teams played a few weeks ago. Cleveland thumped them. It was with Davis Mills and Case Keenum, so not the same thing. You don't have the offensive rookie of the year out there in C.J. Stroud, but you do have Flacco. Threw a couple picks, I think, that game. But, Bri, you're not buying into it. I do see there might be a little too much love for Cleveland at this point. 2.5, though. You're taking the Texans.
Yeah, look, I like the Texans plus 2.5, but I do feel like the line should probably be 3, and that's kind of why I like the 2.5 even more. And I get the sense that you guys are all going to be taking the Browns here. But it does seem like everybody's on the Browns, and we talked about this the other day. I mean, the Browns-Ravens match seems like it's destined to happen, right? And I'm just not so sure. That's the game we all want to see, which is crazy that we want to watch Flacco in multiple playoff games here.
Right.
But yeah, I don't necessarily think so. Like, the Browns are 3-5 on the road. They were not the same defensive team on the road all season. And then you have Stroud, 6-1 in his last 7 starts at home. So 6-1 at home. I think this is a rather high scoring game too, Sal. But I'm gonna take the points. I think it's very, very close.
All right, I'll jump on since you mentioned the high scoring game. The over under is 44.5. They put up 58 last time, and I mentioned that that's with Keenum and Mills on the other side. The splits for Cleveland are insane defensively. 13.9 points allowed per home game, 29.6 on the road. That's astounding. Their last 9 games, Harry, the Browns' last 9 road games, how many you think hit the over?
7.
No, 9. You think I would stop the podcast and ask you this question if it was just 7 out of 9? No, 9 out of 9. Can't get higher than that. And 6 of their last 7 games in general went over. I don't think this 44.5 is high enough. One or both these teams could get to 30, at least in the mid-20s. So I'm with you, Bri. I'm going to go over. Harry, you like Cleveland to go over their team total.
Yeah, it's 23.5. points at -110. In weeks 14 through 17, Cleveland scored 31 or more in 3 of those 4 weeks. And that includes, how you mentioned, 36 versus Houston week 16, when Cooper had that monster game with 2 touchdowns and 265 yards. In 5 games, Flacco is averaging 323 yards passing, and Houston is just 23rd versus the pass this year. Cooper and Njoku over 2,000 yards combined this year, over double-digit touchdowns. And 4 and more are integral playmakers on this offense as well. I think the Browns offense continues to roll. I think they find a way to get at least 24 on Saturday. Mm.
What will he have to do, Bri, for Harry to pronounce his name correctly, Joe Flacco, before he calls him Flacco? Will he have to win the Super Bowl? Will that be enough? Will he have to achieve peace in the Middle East?
It's crazy how he still has not gotten this right after multiple weeks. It's funny.
Flacco. Multiple weeks. Guy's been around since Nobody Hayes.
But he just, I never noticed him doing this before. Right?
Yeah.
I know.
It's very impressive.
Since I call him what I call him, he throws for 323 a game. He'll take it, I'm sure.
All right. All right. Well, don't stop then, I guess. All right, Parley Kid, you got a touchdown prop here for us.
Yeah, you know, this game to me, I have not decided on a side yet. I think this is a very difficult one. But I do think there's going to be points scored in this game. So I'm going to take Ford to score anytime touchdown at +145. What I like about Ford here is, and I know Hunt can be a little bit of a vulture here on the goal line.
Oh,
but Ford,
it's a terrible thing to say. Terrible, terrible. Yeah.
Yes, it is. Yeah. It is.
True, though.
He could, but it is, right, Harry? It is true.
True.
But that being said, what I like about him is his versatility by the goal line inside the red zone. 5 rushing touchdowns, 4 receiving touchdowns for Ford this year. I think Harry hit with him actually a couple weeks back on our first touchdown pick with one of our few winners this year. And it was on a pass, correct, Harry?
Yeah.
So he's got
more receiving touchdowns now.
He's got
passing.
5-4. Right. Isn't that what it is? 5-4. So he's got 9 total touchdowns. And you got to remember, he has not been a full-time starter all year. I'm getting a plus number in a game where I think there is going to be touchdown scored. Let's take Ford at +145 anytime touchdown.
All right. There you go. I will tell you, the sports guy and I have the same game parlay on this game. Fandle was tickled about the idea of the Shakey's game being on the same game parlay. So we went with this, and that's all I'll say. who knows? Maybe it'll even win this time. Unlike Shakey. I don't think they'll call it the Shaky Same Game Parlay, right? Can you use that name? I don't know. We'll see what happens. All right. The night game, which some people are not going to get to see, Kansas City home 4-point favorite, 44.5 is the over-under. Miami comes to town. Harry, have you figured out how or if you're going to see this game?
I haven't figured out yet. I'm still trying to figure it out. I really am. By the way, it's funny. I did see on ESPN today that they were giving Mad Dog a hard time, too, because he doesn't know how to get Peacock either.
Oh, does he know how to pronounce Flacco?
It's very hard. It's very hard.
Why is it so hard?
Very hard.
Go to the app store, And are you having trouble spelling the word?
I don't do apps. I don't do apps.
I see. Okay.
I do appetizers.
Right.
I don't
unless do apps. It's mozzarella sticks. Yeah, okay. All right. Anyway, Miami screwed up by losing that game Sunday night. Now they go and kickoff temperature is supposed to be about minus 12 or 14 wind chill factor. At least this is supposed to favor the Chiefs. Tua came out today and said he's not wearing gloves. Pauly Kidd, as a quarterback who's played in the cold weather, do you think this is a good or bad idea, not wearing gloves?
No, the quarterbacks never used to wear gloves, right? Back in the 70s or even 80s or 60s or whatever it is. And
right.
They were playing in, on frozen tundras, as they used to say.
Right, it's before global warming. Yeah.
I do think when you're playing football, right, and I do think one on the sidelines, is especially in this day and age, is plenty of heat. Two, you're running around. I think these guys are a little warmer than we think they are. I think Brother Bry is a guy who played football too in some cold weather, can attest to, it's different when you play. Like, I know I played two both ways, and Brian played both ways as well. So maybe that's a little different, but
so you think Tua should play safety? He should try like safety, and then everything will come together.
I do think Tua is screwed either way this weekend, so it doesn't matter.
Well, go ahead, give your pick because I see now that you do have a player problem.
Yeah, too. No, I'm telling you right again. I'm waiting on these games on sides because I feel like all these games are tough. So I thought I'd give myself a little bit more time this week, but I do like Tua under 240 and a half yards passing at minus 115. Tua threw for 193 yards against the Chiefs the first time out. The most consistent thing about the Chiefs this year has been their defense. Their defense has been very solid. And it is, let's face it, overall between receivers, centers, quarterbacks, it is much more difficult to throw the ball in cold and wind, et cetera, right? So that's what you're going to get. It's not a day for quarterbacks. It's going to be a day for pounding the ball. And that's what these teams are going to have to do. I do think, Tua comes probably is going to end up somewhere around what he did his last time, about 200, because they're probably going to have to throw the ball in some cases. And his passes will be probably short and quick. And then maybe Hill breaks a 60-yarder. Other than that, he goes under this number. These are pretty high numbers for teams that really haven't been great lately offensively. And with the weather being so adverse to quarter, Josh Allen could throw for an over in tough weather. I don't think Tua can. His arm is just not strong enough.
Okay.
And the elements.
Well, yeah, the yards after catch is the way he gets amasses his yards.
Sure.
It is interesting. You look at the first glance, you look at this, Miami, they have to go to Kansas City. The line's only 3.5 or 4. I'm taking Kansas City, the Super Bowl champs. And that's before you even think about it. But I know what you're saying, Parley Kid. I got to give this a thought. The problem is I've gotten crushed with Miami the last couple of weeks. God, I mean, why would I go back to them? I had them against the Ravens. I had them against the Bills. Really, really bad. All right, Harry, you also think it's not going to be a day for the quarterbacks to shine.
Yeah, I'm going to go Mahomes under 254.5 at minus 114. You mentioned it's going to be around 0 degrees in Kansas City on Saturday night.
That's crazy.
And windy. And in Germany earlier this season, Mahomes had just 185 on 20 completions versus the Dolphins defense. Mahomes last two games, he's gone under 250. And Mahomes has gone over 254 yards in 8 games this year. But 7 of those 8 were versus teams that did not make the playoffs. Plus, 2 of the last playoff game, 3 playoff games for Mahomes last year, he went under 200 yards.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, I know. I mean, they want to inflate those Mahomes numbers for sure.
Yeah, always.
I'm going to go against you a little bit here because I think, well, what the Parlay Kid said about Tua throwing short, I think the same case is going to hold for Mahomes and the Chiefs and these guys who never catch balls anyway. I mean, they already have these receivers and pass catchers already have a 7% drop rate, which is tops in the league. So I think at 0 degrees, 10 below, wind chill.
I'm seeing minus 6 Minus six with 10 to 15 a mile an hour. It might be like minus 20 degrees there.
I know. It's insanity.
It's like, what?
But you know what? I've done this before. And Brian, we'll get to your pick in a second. But, you know, Harry, you went to the game Giants-Packers.
Yeah.
And there was, I mean, that was the coldest, right? I mean, there were penguins running up and down the end zone on the goalpost there.
Yeah.
It went over. Like sometimes these dumb games go over and sometimes there is offense. But anyway, I'm going to say he's going to keep it close. Keep it short. Pacheco over 3.5 receptions, minus 115. It's going to be like a frozen boulder being thrown at these guys. And you might as well throw to Pacheco. He only has 2 drops and 44 receptions. And that's a good ratio, especially for that team. And he also has had 4 or more receptions in 4 of the last 6 at home. He could end up having 6 or 7. Who knows? Yeah, I'm not saying he has 120 yards receiving, but could go, you know, 5 for 33 or something. So hook me up for Pacheco over 3.5. Bry, you're all in this narrative that this game stays under.
Yeah, I like the under 44.5. And like you said, I think that Packers-Giants game, that went over, but I think it was still at like 43 points or something. So,
yeah, maybe.
You know, some wacky things could happen, like a big play to Hill, but I just don't really see it, especially with the way these offenses have been playing. And like you guys said, with the wind chill being negative 10 and negative 20 potentially, I just don't see how that bodes well for Tua here. And, you know, I think the Chiefs Dolphins, you know, I think the Chiefs are going to be ready to go for this game, right? They basically had a week off. I'm curious if Andy Reid kind of used last week kind of as a bye week in terms of preparing more for this game, even though they still won last game. And look, they shut the Dolphins down in better conditions already this season, right? It was 21-14. We see the same thing over and over again from the Chiefs, right? These low scoring games. And I think you're going to see a lot of Pacheco in this game. I do like his over for rushing totals. I think it's like 66.5. I just think they're going to run a lot in this one. I think Chiefs win like 20-10. So
good trend for him. His rushing yards over as well. Favorable. You know, it's funny. Everyone's screaming all week about how could they put this on Peacock? You got like 3 Hall of Famers in this game, blah, blah. I could see it being 10-7 in the fourth quarter. Couldn't you? Just with all this nonsense with 9-7 or something like that. And then the scheduling is like, thanks for bearing this anyway.
Drop passes all over.
Yeah. I talked to Peter King. He's going to be on Cousin Sal's Winning Weekend, that full interview. And I asked him about the schedule. You know, because to me, I'm almost more interested in how they schedule these games. We text each other back and forth than the games themselves. And Mikey Meatballs was pulling his hair out because Peter King had 28 minutes with us. And I think the first 23 minutes I couldn't get off the scheduling. I love it so much. I think it's me and Mad Dog and no one else cares.
Yeah.
But we established one thing. I said, what do they look at first? What's the first concern? Mm-hmm. Do they have to give NBC their gigantic game? Do they have to keep Fox with a good NFC game? He said, it has to be a 4-5 on Monday night because they have to know the rest of the scheduling. And then so Sunday night, you will know the opponent of the 4-5 Monday matchup. That's a good point. Right? Mm-hmm. So Tampa Bay, Philly is going to know who they're playing, whoever wins.
Can I ask you something, Sal?
Sure.
I don't want to interrupt our podcast here and the flow of it. But if you were to rank these games 1 through 7, like how would you rank them? Like what's the best game on the schedule?
It's right? Weird because I have much more interest in Cleveland-Houston, but I know that's not the best game and not the top 3.
No, but see, that's why this year I think this is very tough. And
it is
I would
tough.
Think obviously... Yeah. A lot of their games are based on marketability, of course, right? The time slots. So, but how would you rank them? Like, what's the best game? Is Rams, Lions the best game?
I think that's a great storyline.
Dolphins, Chiefs, is that the best game? I just feel like...
Yeah.
Detroit, this LA is most...
I would say Eagles, Bucks is my... That Monday night game to me is the least intriguing of all the games, right? Can we start with that?
I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to pick it. I have no idea. And so when they made that the 4-5, so I guess they have to decide between the 4-5s, right? So they got it good this year because you like to bury that AFC South team as a first Saturday game, right? So that's going to be the 4-5 in that slot. And then the 4-5 in the NFC is what they did with Philly, Tampa Bay.
Right. So we would say Packers, Cowboys for us is one. That's the last one. And then it would just be, I don't know. This is a really good first week of playoff football.
I still think Dolphins going out would be the best team to lose. You know what I mean? So I think KC Miami is second. And again, I say this thinking that this could be a 10-7 game. Gotcha. And everything else.
Now, for years, me and you have gone back and forth predicting what the games are going to be.
It's so much harder now.
It
is, except for that. What does, just curious, like what does Houston have to do when they're in the playoffs not to be that first Saturday game? They're always the first Saturday game. Always.
I don't know what have they played the Chiefs? They did play the Chiefs, right? In a Saturday game?
They played the Chiefs.
It wasn't Mahomes' Chiefs, though, was it?
Yeah, it was like 30-0. And the Texans were home because the Chiefs were the 5, had to play the Texans who were a 4, and they beat them 30-0 in Houston.
And the 7 times they've made the playoffs, they've been that first game all 7. So, mm-hmm.
Although it really does suck if you're the 5 seed and you get the Monday night because now you're coming back on Sunday. That means they have Sunday. To give you the Sunday game. Sunday.
Yeah.
So you're going Monday night, which is already almost like Tuesday.
Yeah,
and you're playing Sunday. You're going on the road twice. You probably have a better record than the 4 seed. I mean, that really does suck.
Yeah. I know. Yeah, that's it. Well, I guess we should consider that next year when we're like, oh, they'll be happy to get the 5 seed and whatever. But no, if it means
if the Cowboys were the 5 this year and they had a Monday night, just say they had the Monday night and then we're playing San Francisco. They went to Tampa and then San Francisco a couple days later.
Were we a Monday night against Tampa? We were.
You were. It was.
I know. Brady, it's just a terrible.
And then we played Sunday against the Niners. Was that it?
I guess when we won. Mm-hmm. But that is terrible.
It's not that good. All right, listen, we'll get over it. Because we have a break to regain our composure. And we'll be back with those Sunday games that Bri's talking about. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Cars.com. When you add your car to your garage on Cars.com, you'll unlock access to real-time insights into how much your car is worth. Plus, view its historical and projected value to decide when to sell. So when the time is right, you can secure an instant offer from a local dealership or sell it yourself on Cars.com. Start tracking your car's value with your garage on cars.com.
All right. So now it's Buffalo, a 10-point favorite, 36.5 versus Pittsburgh. Buffalo is home. Obviously, TJ Watt is out. He's for sure out. And that moved the line a bunch. Bri, let's start with you. You see some value in the double-digit underdog Steelers.
Well, I think the 10 points is a little high, right, Sal? I know, again, we talked about this, right? This team does not win games without Watt, and they've been awful, right? They've won like one of, I forget how much it is, but this, 10 points in a game that's going to have crummy weather. And this is a Steelers team, right? They've played much better with Rudolph as their quarterback. And I think Rudolph's going to at least be able to put up enough points to cover here. And look, they've played well in 3 straight. And the Bills, I know while they've won 5 straight, the last 3 games, right? You barely beat a depleted Dolphins team. You could have lost the game. You were awful against the Patriots the week before and pulled that out. You were bad against the Chargers, could have lost that game the week before that. So everything's been close with them. And we saw even earlier in the year, right? They had home games like against Tampa that they just didn't play that well. There's like 1 or 2 games they've been able to put teams away. I think Tomlin stays in this game. It's closer than the 10.
All right. I'll jump in here because, by the way, Parlay Kid, you were all over the weather in the other one. This one, I think, is supposed to be even worse, maybe.
I guess it's during the day.
Well, it's during the day, right?
Yeah, that's so the thing. 25, but 25 with the winds off.
The winds are bad, right?
40 miles per hour.
The winds off the lake. The wind, right. And that's Josh Allen time.
Yeah. You know what? How dare you? Shame on you for sending your son, Mikey Meatballs, to Buffalo. Look what they have to do.
That, but Buffalo was just voted the number one place to live, like in America.
That's
right
fine.
Now.
Listen, wow. yeah. right,
remember that time
right
they had
now?
Like 6 feet of snow?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't get it.
Mikey Meatballs is wearing a singlet and sandals right now. He's happy to be out of Buffalo. But you know what? I'm going to go under here. I think these offenses are going to stall out of the gate. Bri told you how tough it is for Buffalo. First half under 18 or 19 is probably a good one too. But as great as the Bills are in our minds, they only topped 27 once in the last 5 weeks. Don't forget, only 14 offensive points last week in that important game versus a banged up Dolphins defense. I think Pitt plays with some pride Allen's going to hit you with that interception. So that's one drive you can knock out. It just is. Whatever. He's still great. And the Steelers are going to try to do it on the ground. They eat up some clock with Najee Harris and Joe Warren. And that would be smart, at least. I think this could be a game where touchdowns turn into field goals in the low 30s. The under is hit in 7 of the Steelers' last 9 road games. So I will take under 36.5. I think low 30s for this one. All right, Harry, what you got?
I got a over here in this game. I'm going to take Deontay Johnson over 3.5 receptions at -110. It's been a guy Rudolph has really been relying on. He scored in 4 of his last 6 games and has at least 4 catches in 5 of his last 7 and 8 of his last 12 games. 4 career games versus Buffalo, at least 4 catches in all 4, Sal, and in 2 career playoff games for Johnson. How about 16 catches on 26 targets? Just needs 4 on Sunday. Give me Johnson over 3.5.
All right, Darren, I jump back and forth between this one and Cook for a touchdown, but you like Josh Allen to run it in.
Yeah, well, yeah, at basically even odds here at -105, Josh Allen to score a touchdown, 15 on the year. He has scored 11 touchdowns in his last 10 games. And as obviously, he didn't score one last week, but he had about 6 or 7 straight games with a touchdown, and some of them multiple touchdown games. The bigger the game, the more likely he is to take off and get yards for his team. We've seen that here down the stretch where he's been carrying the ball. He's been actually, when we thought after that Cowboys game, Cook's carries have gone actually down the last few weeks. Allen is now rushing the ball like back to 12, 13, 14 times a game. And that's how they're going to use him in the playoffs, especially in this type of weather. Anything close to the goal line is going to be Josh Allen time. He's big, he's strong, he's powerful. And to me, these are he is the best bad weather quarterback in football. Played at Wyoming. He's playing in the, I should clarify for myself, the nicest city in America. Buffalo was voted.
Oh, is that what it is?
Nicest? Not like the nicest people, just the nicest.
What does
city.
That mean? It's amazing. The nicest.
It's the Queen City, Sal. It's the Queen City. I thought Cincinnati was the Queen City. I guess Buffalo is the Queen City. But either way, Josh Allen, anytime touchdown, Sal, put this somewhere on a parlay, Sal. Allen to score, right. -105.
Well, Mikey Meatballs, we've all been to Buffalo, but Mikey, you lived there for 4 years. Is it the nicest city that you've even been to?
No.
So they obviously didn't ask Mikey Meatballs when they did this.
I know what Michael's saying. I mean, you but then what? Again, I think it's he's just not to make there people in the summertime. He's not there in the summertime.
It's just to make people feel good that live there. I get it. It's fine. It's like, all right, hey, they can tell all their friends, everybody. It's nice. All right. Now our game, Parlay Kid. Dallas, 7.5, 50.5 is the over-under. Green Bay comes to town. Brian, I'm going to give it to you here again. I'm going to play it off because you the only one who took the side. So tell us why you like Dallas -7.5.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Cowboys -7.5. And look, for as good as the Cowboys have been at home, right, they've struggled against teams similar to the Packers, right? The Lions, the Seahawks, those two games were really close. But I'm just banking on a monster game here for the Cowboys. Packers are still really young. They come into this with a lot of hype, a lot of love for Love, right? So, and for as good as Love has been, I think the moment might be a little bit too big in this game. I think, you know, again, if this line was 7, I'd be a little bit more cautious. The fact that it's up to 7.5 makes me like it even a little bit more here. I think they go up two. I know. Yeah. I think they go up 2 scores early, Sal, in this one, the Cowboys, and they win comfortably like 34-20. And I think this is an overplay for sure, too.
Yeah, that's what I'm going with, over 50.5. It's coming for the Cowboys in 10 of the last 13 at home. You throw that Lions game out of there because, well, you know, Harry cursed it, really. He cursed it by taking the over, so we could skip that one. But that was the only one they didn't score 30 or more at home. In fact, if you go back to last year, they averaged 40 over their last 3 at home last year. So this is the onslaught has gone back many, many games. I think, again, like Bri, like you said, I think they get up early. This could be a garbage time stat game for Jordan Love. Probably outscore the Cowboys in the fourth quarter, but I don't think it'll matter. God, I hope it doesn't. I think over 50.5, I think this over could get shattered pretty early. Harry, you're doing. I wish you wouldn't do this. Yeah, I really do.
It. I'm doing Dallas over Sal, over 29 and a half points for the game at minus 120. The boys, as we know, are a different team in Big D than they are on the road. They've scored 30 or more in 7 of the 8 home games. 4 games at home, they've scored in the 40s. Lamb, guy can't be stopped. Last 3 games, 500 yards and 4 touchdowns. And McCarthy might just want to roll it up versus his former team if he can, over 29 and a half for Dallas. Nice season for Green Bay, but it ends on Sunday.
Why is this only minus 120 parlay, kid? If the Dallas has scored 30 or more in like every home game except one, it does scare me a little bit that it's that should be higher, shouldn't it? Should be 29 and a half.
I talked about that yesterday. Overall. Yeah. Defense is weird.
The Packers defense is weird because you hear all the Joe Barry stuff and what a collapse this is for Joe Barry. And then he plays okay against the Bears and the week before against the Vikings. So I don't know. I don't know.
No mess ups against his former team, McCarthy. No mess ups on Sunday.
Well, for that to happen, you have to have a big lead because I don't trust him just yet in the last couple, 2-3 minutes. Sure. So let's get a big lead and hold on. The only thing is, Parley Kid, we're facing the hottest quarterback. I think I brought this up yesterday. Yeah, that's probably the last thing you want. Would you rather face the hottest quarterback or the hottest defense? There are some good quarterbacks in there, but I think he's...
Yeah, I think I'd rather face the hottest quarterback because you're talking about one player, right? Like, rather than like a defense that has just been buzzing around, you know? I think it because... The Cowboys are going to score their points, right? So Love can have an okay day, a decent day. And look, let's face it. I'm trying to look at Green Bay's as we're talking here. I'm trying to look at, all right, so we got to keep in mind here, Sal, and this is a big factor. After losing to the Giants and the Buccaneers, right, they've gone on to beat the Panthers.
Yep.
The Vikings, who have essentially quit playing football at a certain point.
Right.
And the Bears.
And the Bears, who they always beat.
All right, so, yeah. Mm-hmm. And they beat the Bears 17-9 in a must-win game at home. So let's not go crazy here about like giving our Cowboys any excuses for the Packers to be hanging around in this game late.
Darren,
get the job done and win the game, for crying out loud.
Darren, may I add, they gave up 30 points to Carolina, who got shut out 2 straight weeks after that.
All right, 33-30 in that game.
The only thing I'm going to say is...
So true.
He's not making mistakes is the only thing. And I think he'll be pressured. If you watch him, he had a pretty clean pocket against Minnesota and Chicago. That cannot happen on Sunday. It can't.
I'm the only one of us who was on him against the Bears, and I said Love was been great, and I've never seen, this has got to be the best group of like receivers that you don't know who they are, but right, we know who they are now, we do,
right,
but rookies, first, second year guys, collectively speaking, they've been tremendous, but I think this is where in a playoff game, I think the Cowboys, their defense is going to rise to the occasion here.
Well, so, it's funny. You said that about receivers, and I always get on Simmons. Like, we got the worst receivers. We can't get any separation. I'm like, well, going into this year, if you had looked at Houston's roster, would you think they have great receivers?
No.
Would you think Green Bay has great receivers? I'm looking at these playoff teams, right?
And even Green Bay's leading receivers got 793 yards, right?
Right. The only thing I'll say is, Bri brings up the good point. The scary Green Bay team to me was the Detroit game, and nobody had that. We all lost money going into that.
And the Chiefs game. And the Chiefs game, right?
The Chiefs game. But I just felt like that was suffocating the way the Packers put the Lions. I felt like they didn't have a chance.
No, you're right.
On Thanksgiving. Whatever. It's a 3-day rest, all that stuff. Anyway, no excuses. Go out there and win. But Parley Kid, you have I mean, this is a monster vig you're giving us here, right?
Yeah, I don't really do it, but I'm so convinced. This is too easy. Dak over 1.5 touchdown passes at minus 172. He's gone over this number in 7 out of his 8 home games. The only game he didn't was the Pats game, and that was probably because their defense kept scoring touchdowns and Dak didn't need to throw any. So I feel like this is was stealing money here against this Packers secondary with Dak going over 1.5 touchdowns at minus 172.
Why don't you do this? I mean, you could have it however you want to present it on this podcast, but if you have Cowboys win, Dak over 1.5 get you down to 128. That's not bad.
Yeah, why not? Right? Yeah. Jump on it. Jump on it.
That's a good one. All right. You can do all our overs there too. All right. One more break, two more games and Sharp Tank. We'll be right back.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, so this is a fun one. Sunday night, Detroit, 3-point favorite, 51.5 is the over-under against the Rams. I think it was at 3.5 for a minute. Back down to 3. Great storyline. Stafford coming back to Detroit. There's fans out there who are like trying to start a whole movement with the no Stafford jerseys in the crowd. And Kelly Stafford rightfully is like, what the hell? That's ridiculous. And but to me, Bri, this is, if you're Jared Goff, aren't you a little like, I don't know. I feel like I'm a little shunning going on here. Like, what? This should be his moment. You know, he took the Rams to a Super Bowl. He took the Lions to the playoffs for a home game, first time in forever. And everyone's just talking about Matthew Stafford.
I know. Is that weird? It is funny. He's like an afterthought, right? You still don't really appreciate what he's done. I mean, the fact, right? I mean, they've had a phenomenal season, but it is a little bit weird. This is all Stafford here.
All about Stafford. Very strange. Anyway, you are going to buy a half a point here to the 3.5, which it was a little earlier in the week, but you got to pay 120.
I'm taking the 3.5 minus 120, Sal. And look, Campbell's done a phenomenal job with this team, aside from going for the 2-point conversion the second try against the Cowboys. But I don't know. I trust McVay and Stafford more in this game. They're 7-1 in their last 8. And that one game they lost was against the Ravens in overtime. And that was a game they battled in that game. So they're one of the few teams that were able to handle the Ravens this year. And look, I've seen enough, even though the Lions had a great season, I've seen enough bad games from the Lions, you know, whether it was that Packers game on Thanksgiving, like you said, or that Bears game on the road where they were just awful. And look,
or the Ravens, right? Then you say they lose the Ravens? So,
yeah, well, they got, I mean, just they think got of
the way the murdered. Two teams played the Ravens. Yeah,
they got murdered to the Ravens. But like, you know, they have not won a playoff game in what is it? It's 32 years, mm-hmm. And like, so it's hard enough for this team to win. And I think everybody in Detroit will be happy if they just win. But it's going to be hard. You know, it's hard enough to win, but let alone cover. So
yeah,
I'm definitely taking the 3.5 here. So.
All right. Harry, you got St. Brown. He's been what a great pick he's been. He really is.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to take him not to score one touchdown, but to score two touchdowns. Yesterday, he was plus 650. Today, he's up to plus 700. First off, St. Brown wasn't happy getting major league snubbed from the Pro Bowl selection. I think he's going to be playing with a chip on his shoulder here in this game. Had 119 catches, over 1,500 yards, 164 targets. He has scored in 4 straight games. The Rams are 20th in the league in yards against and passing yards against. I love a lot of points in this game. I'll get to that point later on in the show. And why not St. Brown, who's had his best season of his career at 7-1 to find pay dirt 2 times here at 7-1.
This is such a good game. Such a fun one. All right, Parley Kid, you and I have Cooper Kupp props. I'll start. It's over 6.5 receptions adjusted is plus 132. He's only had 4 this year, 4 games with 7 or more. But 6 receptions or more in 11 of his last 12 primetime games. And let's go back to the playoffs a couple of years back where he had 33 receptions in those playoffs, that Super Bowl run. He was an absolute machine. I think we see a little bit of that flair out of Cooper Kupp. You know, get a little, that's it. Get these possession receivers going. Get the nerves. Get rid of the nerves early on. Get him a couple receptions off the bat in the first quarter. So I'm going to go over 6.5 receptions plus 132. You like the yardage.
You're going to go Kupp over 67.5 yards. And kind of like what you're saying, but I think Kupp is more than a possession receiver. And obviously, this kid, Nacua, has not slowed down. He's been phenomenal. So you, but I thought he had found his game earlier in December, had a couple straight games over 100 yards, his only 100 yard games of the year back to back. Then the last couple weeks, towards the end of the season, not spectacular games, but had a week off last week, right? Didn't play. Now he's had a couple to get time to get even more healthy. He's going to be super fresh. You have to pay attention to Nacua. He's a huge factor too for this offense. I think Kupp has close to a 10 reception game here, Sal, which will put him over 67 and a half yards here, Sal. Over that easily. So look, this is his time to shine, right? Like, this is where a guy like Kupp, like Nacua, first playoff game, I'm sure he's going to be good. But this is where you rely on the Cups, right? And there's going to be points scored in this game, as Harry said. It's going to be the ball is going to be slung around the field in this game.
He has over 70 yards, Pollockin, in 10 of his last 12 primetime games. So there you go. I know a lot of it, you know, you might say, oh, that's a different Cooper Kupp. I don't know. I think we see that same guy. All right. Monday, another primetime game. Monday night, Philly 3, now a healthy 3-point favorite. 43.5 is the over under. They're at Tampa Bay. We all have props. You know what? I'm going to start here. I'm not inspired by this game. I don't love it. You got two kind of injured quarterbacks, right? Baker definitely appeared banged up to me, was overthrowing Evans last week. I don't know what's going on with that Jalen Hurts finger. It's pointing in a direction I've never seen before. I don't even think the tush push could help at that point. It's on the other end, but they're still a 3-point favorite going to Tampa Bay. And I'm going to just bet on boring here. Bucks, Eagles, I'm stealing from you a little here, Parley Kid. First drive for both teams, punts, plus 240. There you go. Uninspiring offenses. Last two games for the Eagles, the first drive resulted in a punt. Not even close, actually. 3-and-out. Last two games for the Bucks, first drive resulted in a punt. I don't see why this is plus 240. Plus 240 means it's kind of like they're saying it's better than even odds for each a little bit. So Baker, Hurts, probably try to keep it conservative at the start. I think a who blinks first kind of game. Give me both teams to punt first at plus 240. Bry, you have Evans over.
Yeah, I'm taking Mike Evans over 69.5 receiving yards at minus 114. Like, the Eagles pass defense, though, been garbage this year, right? When you look at it, right, Sam Howell threw for almost 700 yards against the Eagles in two games. It's been rare. If you look at almost every game, guys just had monster games. I know they had some backups in there last week, but Taylor almost threw for 300 yards last week. I'd expect Mike Evans to be, you know, a good playoff performer here. And as long as Baker doesn't keep missing him wide open, he should have a really big game. Yeah, so 69.5 just seems low. Seems low. If he can connect on one of those long throws, finally, with him, it'll be an easy over.
Isn't that crazy? They thought they can get like another year out of Bradbury, and I think he's ranked at the very bottom. For corner, bottom. Right?
Yeah.
Interesting. All right. Harry, what you got for Baker? Under?
Under. Under 1.5 touchdown passes at minus 140. You mentioned Sally's banged up. The entire Bucks team scored 0 touchdowns versus Carolina last week, and the team was terrible the week before that at home against the Saints when they could have clinched the division. Tampa just 22 total points combined the last two games. Baker played the Eagles earlier this season on a Monday night and lost and had just 146 yards in that game and one touchdown pass. And he's played two career games against the Eagles defense and has just that one lone touchdown pass in two games against Philly.
All right. There you go. Parlay Kid. Take us
on. I'm going to take Rashad White here over 21.5 yards receiving. Seems a little low here for a guy that averages over 32.5 yards receiving per game. Had 550 receiving yards on the year, 14 catches in his last three games. He's gone over this number in 5 out of his last 6, 8 out of his last 10. Baker, we know, is a check down guy, right? Like, he'll check down. Even though last game, for example, the last game against Carolina, this White was 4 for 18 and 4 receptions for 18 yards. All that takes is one missed tackle right out of the backfield. He goes for 21.5 yards. He goes over this number because I do think in these type of games, especially if Mayfield's a little bit banged up, which we hear that he might be, maybe he's got to check down a little bit more often than he likes to as well. White over 21.5 yards receiving. I really like this one.
So, Parley Kid, as a Cowboys fan, and I know I shouldn't be doing this, if we win this week, who do we want to play? Now, so as the 2 seed, we can't play the 7 because we'll have beaten the 7. We can't play the 6 because the 6 would go to the 49ers, right?
Right.
So it's either Detroit, Philly, or Tampa. All either come to us.
I think Tampa. I'd choose Tampa out of all those teams. Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt in my mind. No doubt in my mind. Tampa.
I guess 100%. So. If that's what we were rooting for all year, even to go on the road, and now this is a lesser version of that team.
It's got to be Tampa, right? So, you know, the division, playing a team for the third time a season.
They're scary and they get back in their groove. I don't think that, but yeah.
And that's still where it's stupid that you know, winning division gets the four seed, right? Because that penalizes, potentially could penalize like the one seed right there.
Amen. Amen, yeah. Brother Bri. That is the truth. Winning a division should get you into the playoffs. Your record should get you the seed, bottom
right.
line.
By the way, there's talk. I don't want to switch to fantasy, Harry, but everyone was so outraged, and not just the parlay kid that you got in with so few points and made it to the finals. I'm not parlay kid didn't even propose this, but I kind of like this. Two division winners in fantasy, and then the chat, I'll tell you, is the one who said this, and then the two remaining high score teams. I said maybe two division winners, best record after that, wild card, and then one fourth seed reserved for the high score. You like that, Pauly Kid? Would you vote on that?
Here's what I would say.
Yeah.
If the high score is not in a playoff position.
Yeah, right. The remaining like, right? high
That's
score.
That's what you mean.
Yeah.
No, I'm not even sure about the
remaining. Two seeds.
I'm not even sure about the remaining high score. Yeah. I'm talking about the highest scorer who happens to, like, if you had the most points and you're not in the playoffs, that should bump somebody out.
That's what it is, yeah.
You're saying the highest remaining score.
Because you could be like the fourth highest scoring team, right?
I don't know if I like being the fourth highest. Like, right. I like that if you have the most points in the league, but for some reason, you didn't make the playoffs.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, aren't we saying the same thing? The one seed, the two division winners, the third best record, and then whoever has the highest, most points. After that,
well, saying if those first three that made the playoffs are the highest scoring teams, and then this other team's like the fourth highest scoring team.
Yeah, but it'll still be better than another team team with the better
record.
I'm
not sure fourth highest score should get you in.
So how do you do it?
How about this?
How about keep quiet? You started Amari Cooper. How about that?
Before we do any moves like this, can we just finally say that 2-point conversions count? Can we?
Well, we could put that to a vote.
Two-point.
Wait, get out of your mind.
That's what we're arguing about, though, is the 2-point. Harry was arguing. He wanted
it's got point. The, how is that not counting?
Well,
every league, the 2-point conversion counts.
But then, here's what it does, Harry. Then you have to count extra points. And we don't count extra points.
We do.
One of the few, we don't count extra points for kickers. And we didn't want to make kickers too valuable, so we don't count extra points. And then everybody's argument was like, well, then we can't count 2-point. We're not counting conversions. We're not counting the one or the
2-point conversions are very random, though.
I wouldn't say very random.
I do like the idea, but see what I'm saying, Sal, getting back to the
you
point.
You want more randomness? Yeah.
No. For example, this year, playoffs are the same. But let's say I'm out of the playoffs.
Are we still recording?
I led the league in scoring.
Yeah.
Right? But somehow, I had the most points in the league. I'm out in the playoffs. I should kick out the fourth place team.
So you're saying it's the top four records unless the top guy is not in the playoffs? That's what you're saying.
Right.
I still think no matter what, the best highest scoring team is better than the fourth best record. Right?
And why don't we have an argument with that either. Because
why don't we just do that? Yeah.
Isn't that what it's really about? Is more points than record?
That's why, like I said, Cowboys regular season, most points. Let's end the season now. It was nice. We had a fun time. All right, listen, let's get the Sharp Tank. You guys give me your best bets for the weekend. We got some, obviously, playoff football. We have, MMA is back, UFC, and boxing, I think. Bri, start us off with some boxing. What do you got?
Yeah, I'm going to go boxing. Look, we've covered every football game here, so I didn't really want to jump on unless, you know, there's some things that probably kids don't hear that I really like. I won last week. I had the Bills Bills Cowboys last week. So, I mean, I had to, you know, stress up about that Bills game a little bit. But yeah, I'm going to go with boxing here, Sal. And Artur Beterbiev, I have him to win in round 7-12 at +110 against Callum Smith. I don't know if you've seen Callum Smith fight before. You saw him fight against Canelo Alvarez and he got beat up in that fight. But he does have a very good chin, though. He's never been stopped in his career. I think I gave that out as a best bet the last time was Canelo by decision there here. But Beterbiev's just a different type of guy. He's just going to beat up on Callum Smith. And I could very easily see this, the corner stopping this in like the eighth or the ninth round in this fight. He's stopped all his other 19 opponents. And look, boxing is kind of dying, but there's a few fighters left that are still outstanding. Obviously, you got Crawford at the top. And then Beterbiev's right behind him, one of the top five boxers in the world. So I think eventually his heavy hands just lead to the corner stopping the fight and +110 to win it in round 7-12.
I forgot about boxing this week and Beterbiev. I just saw it real quick and I saw that you wanted it in round 7-12. And I thought this was UFC. I'm like, oh my God, this Dana White has lost his mind. 12 5-minute round. How are they going to do this?
But the okay. UFC card's not great.
All right. Harry, let's hear yours. Do you have a teaser here? A 7-point teaser never fails.
7-point teaser, right? I'm going to start off with your Cowboys, Sal, from 7.5 down to -0.5, just to basically win the game. Cowboys.
Wait. I thought you were on the Lions train all year this year.
The who?
I thought you were on Detroit's. I thought you had them to go all the way, basically.
Well, he has Dallas. He's not. Yeah, he has.
I'm not done yet. I have a teaser there.
No, I know. But like, I'm just saying, you're picking them to win. You're basically saying they're going to win the game.
I hope. Listen,
so you're off Detroit.
No, I'm not off on. I'm not off Detroit.
Oh.
Well, okay. This is what I want, Darren. Okay. I want Dallas to win.
That's all.
I want Detroit to go to Dallas because a couple weeks ago Dallas won. The war, but I won the battle, but it's not going to win the war.
You said they won the war.
If they play them again,
the war's over.
They won the battle. They ain't winning the war against Dallas again if Detroit gets to play Dallas. So just I want Dallas to win here. Obviously, 8-0 at home, 30 or more, 30 points or more in 7 or 8 home games. Nice season for Love and the Packers, Darren, but Dallas isn't losing at home. Lamb, like I mentioned, you can't stop him. And McCarthy isn't losing to his former team. So Dallas just wins the game with the Rams in Detroit. It's 51.5. I'm going to tease it over to 44.5. Can't wait for this game. So many storylines. 6 out of 9 home games for Detroit. They scored 30 points or more. Kyren Williams for the Rams. 0 touchdowns last year. He's got 15 this year total. 5 in his last 3 games. And since week 12, the Rams are averaging almost 29 points a game. Nacua and Kupp are a dangerous combo. Dallas, just to win the game. Rams and Detroit to go over 44.5 is my 7-point.
I do like that. By the way, has there been a more underrated player than Kieran Williams this year?
No kidding.
Like this running back? Holy moly.
You know, I don't want to. He's been great and he's won a lot of fantasy titles for like everybody I hear that's won a fantasy championship had Kieran Williams, like, I think, except in our league, maybe. But, and you could got him off the waiver wire. And I'm looking at this parlay kid because Detroit is Harry's team. And I don't want to. Yeah. I should just hammer him tomorrow on Cousin Sal's winning weekend because he doesn't exactly take the Lions.
That's kind of where I was getting at. I jumped
Rams
the gun
have been
on
dangerous
that.
Lately.
Yeah. I jumped the
dangerous.
Gun. I jumped the gun on him on
no,
that one.
It's all
that's
right.
That's kind of how I felt.
I'm
like,
not going to say. But that's.
But
you
that's.
Know.
I was jumping the gun. I got anxious because I was really wanted to kind of hammer him.
Right.
On
right.
He's not really picking.
You
the
would
Lions.
Think
it's not really
see,
going
again. I don't want to. I don't want to spoil your pick here, Harry. But you would think with all the big vigs you give out, you couldn't just take Detroit money line anywhere at some point.
Wait till when they're an underdog in Dallas.
All right. Okay. That's your team. You're letting your team down.
Oh, wait.
That's your team. That's your
parlay
team.
Parlay kid, what do you got here?
Okay. Parlay special. Money line special. And I know you love this. I know you love this one. I know Brother Bri likes this one a lot too. We're just taking the Cowboys to win, the Chiefs to win, and the Bills to win. I personally think, let's face it, the Cowboys, we know they have to win this game. So let's forget about that. I just think that the Chiefs are definitely a much, and Mahomes has proved this, is a much better cold weather baller than Tua. Chiefs are more rugged defense than the Dolphins. I think the Chiefs will be primed for this matchup and for this game. I think they'll be less affected by the elements than the Dolphins. Bills, the same thing. I don't see a Mason Rudolph-led team, and he's been great. He's been not great, but he's been by far their best quarterback this year. They found their running game with him at quarterback, obviously, because he's been more of a passing threat. But I just think, again, there's no better quarterback in the bad elements and the cold and wind than a Josh Allen, who also can tuck the ball and run much better than a Mason Rudolph. I'm just asking these three teams to win here. I wouldn't even pick a side in all any of these games just yet because I didn't feel comfortable with that. But in terms of just winning, I think these three home teams are the sure bets of the weekend to just win a football game.
I used to just do the money line for the championship game on Monday, favorite, which would have been Michigan, with the highest spread, which would have been Buffalo. Still would have been worse than even odds, but I'm looking at this. I'm going to have all these football teams. I just am on something. Isn't it weird this is Tua's first playoff game? I did a double take when I figured that
out. Yeah, Thompson played last year.
Yeah, and then that was it. Yeah. I had to think about that. All right, I like the teaser. I like the money line parlay. I don't like it. Harry's not backing his Lions, beloved Lions. But I'm going to go with you, Bri. Free to be have to win in round 7 to 12 plus 110. Why not? On the Super Wild Card weekend, let's take a box.
We've done enough.
Let's talk golf for a quick second. Tiger and Nike split in the beginning of the week. And I was thinking about it. Is Tiger's wearing of Nike apparel, is that the, how do I want to say this? Is it the most recognizable endorsement in sports history? Like Tiger wearing the red, Harry, the red polo on Sunday?
Yeah. Everyone knows Tiger wears red on Sunday, whatever the logo is.
Well, I mean, it depends.
At the time, the hat the logo for his golf logo for
Jordan's
Nike.
Jordan's the only other thing. Mm-hmm. But you don't look like, oh, look at the sneakers. I just feel like I don't know. What are we going to say, Parlay Kid?
I was going to say Jordan and the sneakers, but
yeah.
So you're focusing just on like one single thing like that stands out for Tiger. Like I just think Jordan with Nike,
his name and the Nike for sure. Right. Yeah. But I'm thinking about visually when you see an athlete in his or her element.
I still associate Jordan with Nike over Tiger Woods.
You want to break the tie, Bri? Right? I mean, I'm just thinking, you know, he's wearing the red on Sunday. You know, like he's not going to be doing that anymore.
There was a movie about Nike and Michael Jordan. So, unless there's a Tiger Woods, you know. But I get what you're saying. Is there?
Yeah, maybe I'm not phrasing it right. I'm just thinking,
what else could there be in terms of endorsing? Like, it'd have to be somebody else's sneakers, right?
Harry knows.
What's that?
Reebok, Dan and Dave, back in 92. Dan and Dave.
I'm serving it up for you, Harry.
$30 million campaign in 1992. Darren, $30 million in 1992 campaign is what? $300 billion today.
Well, don't make the numbers up, Harry. That's not true.
$300 million today.
By the way, who paid for lunch the other day? You or Dan O'Brien?
Oh, Dan.
He did?
That was great. Yeah, we're hanging again on Sunday for the Steeler game.
How many lunches before you play? You actually pay?
I'll pay this week. I'll pay this week. He told me he's paying, and that was that. By the way,
you should
Darren,
pay him Steeler, for Peacock.
What's that?
You should pay him for Peacock for watching the game at his place. What were you gonna say?
No, I was gonna say, by the way, Steelers, Darren, I don't know. Moneyline Steelers plus 420. Love that number.
What are you? We're talking about like endorsements and Nike and shit. I'm trying to get an answer here. And we went over that game an hour ago.
I mean, did Harry say 30? I know he screwed up the number, but did he say 30 million then was 300 billion now?
Is that what he really said?
Yeah, he said, said 300 billion.
Well, he's going to understand numbers now. This now
30 years
now?
Later? I don't know. It's a number. I don't know.
What's your favorite athlete endorsement then, Paul?
No, I think I was with you, Sal.
I've moved on now, Harry, because I got an unsatisfying answer. My single most
favorite, Sal.
Yeah. Tony Romo,
Coca-Cola, and Mean Joe Green.
Mean Joe, it's great.
I think that was really the iconic, one of the most iconic commercials ever, right? Where it still hits home today. And I know it combines the two of your favorite things, Coca-Cola and football.
And the Steelers? So, no.
Not the Steelers. I mean, I would have preferred Randy White and Ed Too Tall Jones in that commercial. Right. But Mean Joe Green fit it, right? The Mean Joe Green with the some sweet kid. That was an awesome commercial. They don't make them like they used to.
Well, I'll tell you what was a funny campaign that was that involves all sorts of athletes. The Miller Lights. The Miller Lights were really funny, right? With Boog Powell and Bob Uecker and
Madden.
Bowling and everything. John Madden.
Those were great. Billy Martin was in those too.
Steinbrenner. Steinbrenner got to go.
Yeah. Those were great. I was going to say
one that you would like. I don't know if you'd like eating these, but Slim Jims, right? And Macho Man.
Macho Man.
It wasn't really a bigger slogan, I felt like, for an athlete. Yeah. Right?
Step into a Slim Jim.
I mean, still to this day, right?
I think they had like the one man gang do it too after him, right? They tried for a few. It was definitely
I mean Romo and Skechers. I mean Harry wears Skechers, so
Romo's decent. I'll say decent in commercials. Decent in commercials.
Okay, good.
Go. Corona decent. Commercials are good.
Oh yeah, the Corona ones too. I'm trying to think. There was a Bird against Magic, right?
Yeah.
And the McDonald's.
Bird. Didn't they play horse in a commercial?
Magic and Bird or Jordan?
Off the ceiling, right? One of those. That might have been, was that Gatorade? I don't even, was that it McDonald's?
I think it was McDonald's.
Yeah, it's McDonald's.
And his grandmama. I mean, this is like a whole different
grandmamas.
Yeah. I got to say, Like Mike might be number one for me. That song was great. Be Like Mike. Gatorade.
I'm surprised Brian didn't say Bo Knows.
Oh, come on, Bri. What's the matter with you?
Yeah. Well, in terms of just endorsements, you know,
I'm
trying to think what he was even endorsing besides Bo Knows.
Yeah.
Other than.
Yeah, that's true. That was Nike. Yeah.
Nike. Yeah. It was the Nike. I mean, he was probably the second biggest after Jordan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. That's good. Yeah. I'm going to go Be Like Mike. I love that song. And Harry, your brother had a ridiculous version to that song. He would never, never allow us to enjoy that commercial because he would sing, he would make his own words up.
Right.
And we liked it. Right. Remember?
Yeah, can we get him to send us a video of him singing that song?
Listen, like, maybe,
can we reach out to him and ask him to do, and we can maybe attach it to one of our podcasts here.
Let me tell you something. Nahas will do it.
Nike has a hole in their, endorsement plan here. Maybe they want an onion farmer from upstate New York. It could really do wonders there. I don't know.
What kind of sneakers
does your brother wear while he picks onions, Harry?
No idea.
Do you think he'd be willing to change if they gave him like $15, $17 million?
You know the answer to that.
And scratch off lottery tickets. All right. All right. Listen, speaking of scratch off lottery tickets.
He's been hot.
He told me. I talked to him last week. Yeah. He loves it. Oh boy. Oh, did he get it? Did he go nuts about you starting Amari Cooper, who was off? Yeah. Oh, he lost his mind.
I'm sure you badgered him just fine.
No, I'm going to say, supposing someone you know started. I told him. All right. We're doing our first touchdown pool. We weren't going to. Brother Bri reminded us, as bad as we are with this. And so you could do this at home. It's 200 fake dollars, right, Bri? You have all four playoff weeks to spend it. You have to do at least $10 a game. And they're in $5 increments, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you wanted Mike Evans
to be all $10 in the Bucks game, you could put it on Evans and the odds, and then you add it up at the end, whoever has the most wins, right? It could be like 50 bucks a team
most money.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
Right. Yep. And then you can't dip into the money you won, right? So if you're at like $325 after 2 weeks, you still can only pull from the 200 original. Okay. All right. Those are really the only rules though. So there you go. And babyface Joel Solomon won last year.
Yeah.
Yes, he did. All right.
We're going to have him back
it out
in
at the end.
There you go. Good luck. No, never had a repeat champ, babyface. Not going to happen this year. I'll tell you that. It's like the NFC East. New one every year. All right. That's going to do it for another episode of Against All Odds from Mikey Meatballs and the D3. I'm Sal saying so long and happy handicapping. You must be 21 or older and present in select states. FanDuel is offering online sports wagering in Kansas under an agreement with Kansas Star Casino, LLC. You have a gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit FanDuel.com/RG in Colorado, Iowa, Kentucky, Michigan, New Jersey, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Illinois, Tennessee, and Virginia. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXT-STEP to 53342 in Arizona, 1-888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat in Connecticut, 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana, 1-800-522-4700 or visit ksgamblinghelp.com in Kansas, 1-877-770-STOP in Louisiana, visit mdgamblinghelp.org in Maryland, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net in West Virginia, or call 1-800-522-4700 in Wyoming. Hope is here. Visit gamblinghelplinema.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support in Massachusetts, or call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPENY in New York.